the Silk and Purple podcast. I'm your host, Megan Fuquay. My guest here today is Mindy Posey. She's a very special friend of mine. She and her husband, Charlie, go to church with us, and they run an actual a Bible study group out of their automotive shop. So welcome, Mindy.
Hello. It's good to be here.
Why don't we open up and you just tell us just a little bit about yourself.
Okay. My name is Mindy. I am married to Charlie. He is my best friend and the husband that I've always wanted. He treats me exactly like I want to be treated and I've always wanted to be treated. I have one daughter, Hannah, and she's the coolest thing ever.
I can vouch for that. Hannah is pretty cool.
She is really awesome, and she is my best friend and my biggest supporter, and she's just cool and kingdom-minded, which is very important. And I have some wonderful in-laws, and I have a great church, an amazing pastor and pastor's wife. I'm truly drinking from my saucer.
That's right. In the overflow. That's where we want to be.
Yes.
That's where everybody wants to be.
Yes.
So why don't we get into your personal testimony? You know, and whenever I ask this question, I don't want people to feel like, I've got to give something that's just like everybody else's. But I do believe that when I'm praying about, you know, who God would have to come on this podcast, that he does have someone in mind. And whenever I ask you and something comes to your mind, I do think that that is God ordained. So right. Why don't you share that with us?
Okay. Well, I was, I'm going to start from the beginning. I was raised in church. My parents have always, they always went to church. My dad, I do remember when I was really little, him getting the Holy Ghost and start coming to church, but I was very, very young. Part of my testimony is I received the Holy Ghost when I was 6 years old. And the night that I received the Holy Ghost, this is an important part, someone mentioned, said something to me that planted a little seed of doubt. Well, like, did I really get the Holy Ghost? And that little bitty seed of doubt grew. It never was nipped in the bud. It was just, and so I spent my first years having the Holy Ghost. I really didn't even claim it that night. And when I got a little older, I ended up getting baptized and, you know, I got the Holy Ghost. But then it was always in the back of my mind. Did you make yourself do that? Like, did you make yourself speak in tongues? Like, I'm not sure how that could be a thing, but in my little young mind, that's what I struggled with. Some things happened when I was a young teenager and I ended up backsliding. It was some church hurt. And that was probably also, if I'd had my walk with God, that wouldn't have ever happened. But so when I backslid, I ended up doing all the things, the drugs and the rehab and the alcohol, just trying to fill that void that you never can really fill. And all of that stuff is fun. It's real fun until it's not fun anymore. And you end up in a state of hopelessness. You know, sin will take you further than you want to go and keep you longer than you want to stay. In the middle of all that, all those years that I was backslidden, I had Hannah, and Hannah has really been a blessing. She's been my saving grace. And so I lost my mom in 2015, and then even though I was out of church, I always would send Hannah to Sunday school with my parents, which was a big thing for me. I knew I was doing wrong, but I wanted her to have the opportunities that I did.
Right.
And so after my mom passed away, Hannah would still go to church with my dad, of course, and she ended up getting the Holy Ghost when she was 10 at a church service that was directed for kids. So I have a place in my heart for children's ministry, right, because of that. Because if it wasn't for Hannah getting the Holy Ghost, I don't know if I would have ever made my way back.
Wow.
And so not that I just think kids are the all-time greatest thing, and that's what I just have a special place for right. children's
it's
ministry.
It's part of your story.
Yes, and I feel like it's such a it was such a big deal in my life as an adult. And so so my daddy ended up passing away. I ended up praying back through after Hannah did, and daddy passed away about 2 months after I got back in church. So that was hard.
Yeah.
But it's a lot easier losing a parent when you have a church family.
That's right.
I think I'm just rambling.
You are not rambling. Okay. This is your personal testimony. It's not rambling.
Okay.
I have a question, too, about because it took me a long time to seek for the Holy Ghost, or I saw, you know, maybe for a year because I was trying to put too much of my brain into it. And then immediately when I did, I had the same thought because for whatever reason, I think there might have been some teaching going around or advice where people are like, you don't tell somebody that they got the Holy Ghost. You know,
right.
you want them to confirm it. And I think that's out of a pure heart, but sometimes the devil can use it against us because
right.
he comes in and he's like, see, look, nobody's talking to you about it. Did you really? You know, and he
yes.
plants that seed of doubt in your mind. So was the situation the same way there? Or
it was actually probably not even just as a little child, as a six-year-old. It wasn't even, it was along the lines of just make sure you really got it.
Right.
You know, well, I did, you know, like I thought I was, you know, and I've shared that testimony with a few people or a few times, and you would be surprised at the people that struggle with that. Like
right.
I've had multiple people say, you know, the exact same thing happened to me and I didn't claim it for so long, you know, and it just, I guess it's really good to know that you're not the only one that had those thoughts for
yeah.
most of my life. I will say that a big part of my testimony is that after I have gotten in church, now there's no doubt in my mind because I am not the same person as
I
was
right.
years ago.
Because he's doing a work in you. It's not
yes.
just receiving the Holy Ghost. It's that sanctification, that walk with God.
Yes. Like when I was living in sin and I wasn't going to church, I was not the same person as I am today.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think the same. I don't long for the same things.
Yeah.
I don't have the same desires. Just, there's no way that I could doubt what God has done for me.
Right.
So that is like, I'm going to make it.
That's right. Well,
you know,
that's the evidence of the fruit of the Spirit working in your life. That's why it's so evident to other people when we start to get our life right with God is because they can see it on the outside. Because, you know, Galatians 5 contrasts the works of the flesh versus the fruit of the Spirit. And so that's my biggest thing, too, is as Christians, as Spirit-filled people, if we're walking around and we're not showing evidence of the fruit of the Spirit, something ain't right.
Right.
If you can do hateful, spiteful, evil things to people and still go and do whatever you're going to do and, you know, speak in church or, you know, look right on the outside and you ain't showing that fruit, I don't know. That ain't how the Bible paints the picture. I just don't know if you got it all together.
Right. And, you know, since I've been in church, God has removed all that doubt. He has delivered me from addiction. I have no desire for any of those things. So I'm a testimony that God can completely take that from you.
Yeah.
And he's delivered me from a spirit of anger. That was a huge testimony for me, is because that was kind of a lifelong thing.
Yeah.
You know, and it took me some prayer and fasting, and I can tell you the moment when that lifted, you know, and I'm not an angry person. I don't have a temper anymore. And
if we want to do like a throwback real quick, a long time ago, like the very first time I ever really actually remember meeting Mindy, I was at a coffee shop and I had just really kind of gotten vulnerable. And I was writing on my blog at that time, and I kind of shared my testimony with anxiety, depression, and the miraculous healing that God gave to me. And I kind of put that out there, and I was like, what if people label me now? So I'm at the coffee shop fixing to get something. And I remember you come in. Maybe you don't remember this moment. I was about to say, you might have just been telling the world, kind of like that Samaritan woman, like, Jesus healed me. So there I was, and you were like, I enjoyed reading that so much. God actually healed me from anger when you were on your mission trip, right?
Yes.
Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Well, when I went on this missions trip, that was actually a different scenario. I had come back, and after I had come back, I had a spirit of anxiety. And, like, I have never battled anxiety or depression, but it was, I thought that I was losing my mind.
Yeah.
And so that was actually an anxiety, and that was a spiritual attack that I had been suffering through for a couple of months. And I really just thought I was going crazy. And I finally recognized that it was anxiety. And God just, when I recognized it, you know, and I'd been praying about it, and I'd went to a church service, and I was like, I just walked in that service, and I'm like, I don't have to leave here the same way.
That's right.
And I didn't. Like, and I felt like in that moment that God had delivered me from that. Like, he'll do it. Like, he'll do whatever you,
that's right,
you're needing and you're sincerely asking for. God will, he just takes care of it.
That's right. And we view things like, we want to categorize them like, okay, this problem goes in this category and this is a big deal, but all these other little things, well, I might have to live with this forever. So
right.
God just has it. He has it all in the palm of his hand. He doesn't categorize it. He can do anything that he wants to do and work it any way for your life, work
right.
those things for your good, even if working it for your good looks like not taking it.
Right.
You know?
Yes.
So.
But now I'm just living my best life for Jesus. I love being married to a Christian husband. I'm so excited about what God is going to do in our life.
How long after you got in church? So you were in church 2 months, your dad passed.
Mm-hmm.
What's the timeline look like between when you met your husband, when you got back in church, and then when you met your husband?
I got back in church in 2018, and we were going to the same church, but it was probably in 2021 that we really kind of started connecting. He has a heart for missions, and I was going on a trip, and we just kind of had, I guess at that point, really connected, you know, and now we both have a love for missions. And,
yeah.
And
well, I think I did such a horrible job of summing it up a minute ago, but during the regular, like, school months, every Thursday evening, Brother Charlie and Sister Mindy have a Bible study group that meets, and I kind of want you to tell me the story of how that was birthed, but they meet together and kind of have a general Bible study and kind of just tweak it to whoever's there, whether they need a first-time Bible study or if they need like a search for truth type Bible study. So tell me a little bit more about that.
Well, we started that because there was a need for some, we had some new converts, and we was starting like a new converts Bible study, and we just kind of kept it going, you know, and then it was just people that come that just wasn't new converts, and we just, you're right, whoever was there was kind of how we would adjust what we taught. I love to do Bible studies.
Yeah.
I love to do one-on-one Bible studies. It is probably my favorite thing in the world to do. I have begged people, please just let me. I don't even care if you're interested. Just let me
right.
give you a Bible study. You might get interested before it's over with. Like, I just think it's so cool to see someone that doesn't know something about the Bible and then how it just, like, evolves. And then they're changed forever because something has been revealed to them in the Bible. It's just the coolest thing. It's the most rewarding and coolest thing ever.
That's right. I feel the same way. I think people get intimidated a lot of times, but to me, getting over that fear is the key to really getting your fire started for soul winning.
Right.
Because we don't win more souls, or we don't reach more people, or we don't try to connect with people in a personal way because we feel inadequate.
Right.
Even though all God needs is somebody willing, he'll give the increase. He will impart the skill. He will impart the knowledge. But we put it on ourselves like, oh, I can't do this. Well, I don't know this. All that is an excuse. It's not a good reason.
That's exactly right. And really all it takes is just doing it. You just have
That's
to
right.
jump in. And once you've done it, you're like, okay, well, that wasn't so bad.
Right.
You know, you can't mess it up if you're just talking about the word of God.
Well,
you
and
know?
I've messed up a lot of it. And honestly, it's like, you know, people, you can do the worst job in the world teaching it. But if there's somebody who's hungry, they're going to think that you just, like, gave this huge thesis, you know?
Right.
And then there's people that really aren't interested, and you're going to give everything you got. You're going to get up there swinging for the fences, and it's going to fall flat. And
right.
it builds humility because you're like, this really, truly is not about me.
Right.
Like, I am just a human. I'm going to mess up. I'm going to make mistakes. But God is in this, and if they are hungry, this will do what it's supposed to do. If they're not, let this be a seed planted.
Right.
Let years down the road, let somebody else water it. And maybe it will. God will give the increase then.
That's right.
It's not for me to take on my shoulders. So
that's it.
I love the work that y'all are doing, because not only do you guys actually, you know, you're out here trying to reach people, but you also kind of have a heartbeat on what's in the community. And that, you know, can direct your prayers and things like that. And those are all important things.
Yes.
Okay, so what is your favorite scripture and why?
Okay, so my favorite scripture comes from Luke chapter 7. The Bible is telling us that there was a Pharisee that invited Jesus to come eat at his house. And while Jesus was there, the Bible calls her a woman in the city, a sinner. She comes and she brings her alabaster box of ointment. And so the woman stood at Jesus' feet, began to weep and wash his feet. We all know this story. This leads me up to my favorite verse. It's Luke 7:47, and it says, "Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little." I love this verse because I have lived this verse. Jesus knew this woman was a sinner, and just like he knew that I was a sinner, but he still forgave me.
Wow.
This is the reason why I come to church and I worship him. This is the reason why I don't care what anybody thinks about my worship. They don't know who I was before Jesus.
That's right.
And how far he had to reach down for me. I regret all the years that I wasted in church and that I was away from God. But because of those years, I'm not here to play church.
Yeah.
I'm here to have a real move of God. I have a desire to see how close I can get to him, and I don't have any desire to see how close I can get to the world.
Yeah.
I've been there,
yeah,
and I have done that, and I just want to see souls saved.
Yeah. So I like what you said, that I'm here to have a real move of God. What does that look like contrasted with the, okay, we show up, this, it's time to show up, now it's time to clap our hands, now it's time to take up offering, now it's time to sit down. What does a real move of God look like to you?
I feel like a real move of God is just being sensitive to the Spirit and going with the flow. You know, there's a time for everything. Sometimes it's a time to shout. Sometimes it's a time to travail.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just noticing if someone's sensitive or somebody is feeling the Lord move on them in
right.
a service, and just being sensitive to that and being able to go pray with them. Or, you know, I feel like it's just being sensitive to the Spirit. You know, just
right.
whatever the Lord wants to do in that service, just be willing to go there and do that.
And we, so many times, you know, I think God speaks to us, and I think we hear him. But then, mm-hmm. so that first voice, I always tell people when I see them struggling with something, I'll go up and I'll say, the first voice was God. The second voice was either you or the devil.
Right.
So you go back to the first voice. So if the first voice says, look at Mindy, go over there and pray for her. And you start. So the first voice said, go to Mindy and pray for her. The second voice says, so it's either you or the devil, says, well, I don't know her very well. Well, she's going to think that I think this about it.
Right.
Whatever your second voice excuse is, trash it.
Right.
Because you don't know. Again, back to the Bible study. Make yourself a vessel.
Right.
It's not on you. First of all, you only stand to benefit by being a vessel for whatever God wants to do. Because that's my favorite thing about living for God is I don't know how you could think this is boring.
Right.
But I'm also always waiting for something to pop off.
Right.
Like,
that's true.
God, all you got to do, God, now is tell me. Because I've seen way too many times the first voice tell me to do something that broke an entire service wide open.
Right.
And other people respond because now fear's gone out of the building. Intimidation is gone out of the building just because one person, you know, whoever is going to be the key to that service, they didn't sit there and get intimidated and frozen in fear.
Yes. And how many times have you heard that first voice? Me personally, I have. and then say, oh, you know, had that second voice mm-hmm. come in, and then you see someone step out. Yeah. And it was like, okay, the Lord said if I wasn't going to do it, right. he was still going to use someone to do it. Yeah. Like I have, that is actually how I learned that that voice is God. Because
right.
you're like, oh, I need to go do this. No, and then you hesitate. Well, then somebody else does it, you know.
Right.
And so you're like, okay, well, next time I know that was God.
Then you have church FOMO because you're like, man, I could have also received a blessing.
Yes.
Like, yeah. I've been there too many times. But you know what? God's not giving you a report card.
That's right.
He's not waiting with a hammer to whack you on the head because you missed out or you messed up. Guess what? He gives you another opportunity.
He does. He definitely does, thankfully.
And you get to build your humility, too, because you get to go, oh, it's not about me, because you right. just use somebody else. So.
And then there's sometimes you do step out, and it didn't go like you thought it was going to
go. Yeah, you're right.
But in reality, though, you still done what you felt to do,
That's
and
right.
you don't really know what stepping out, even though it didn't look like you thought it should look.
Right.
Something probably took
yeah.
place.
You
know,
you don't know what's going on the other side, or you don't know that they're going, God, I don't even know why I'm here. Nobody loves me. Nobody cares about me. Look, I'm an outsider. And then here you come. Hey, I've just been thinking about you. Can I pray with you? Even if they don't change or look the way you thought they were going to look, it's real to them. They're like,
yes.
Okay, never mind, God. Somebody did notice me.
How weird is that?
Right.
Yes. I agree.
So why don't you tell me about a time when God provided what you needed and nobody else could?
This is living in the world for 18 plus years, you have a lot of rock bottoms. I feel like they're always like, you have to hit rock bottom. I banged myself up against rock bottom multiple times.
What did Brother Poole say? You were so low you had to look up to see the bottom.
Yes, that was me. I guess that is the rock bottom. But about 6 months before I got back in church, I was completely in addiction, trying to, you know, I was just hopeless. It's a real hopeless place. I can't imagine, like, people that are actually, that would just want to completely give up
yeah.
on life. I've never had to struggle with that, but I can 100% understand the hopelessness of not knowing what to do yeah. or where to go. But I remember I was in the middle of doing something that I shouldn't have been doing. And I was just like, I just cried out. I was like, God, I don't even know if I love you.
Wow.
But I just don't want to go to hell.
Yeah.
And it's like God heard that.
Yeah.
Because within 6 months, Hannah had received the Holy Ghost. And I was back in church. And I was going to make it, you know.
Yeah.
And that was, nobody else could have done that for me.
Right.
He heard that, and he heard me in that moment of desperation. And that goes back to another part of my testimony is I love him.
Yeah.
Today, I love Jesus so much. I don't have to say, hey, I don't know if I even love you. I just don't want to go to
right.
hell. It's like I'm so in love. I'm in love with his
right.
word. I'm in love with if he never did anything else for me, I still love him. Because
that's right.
And so that's another thing that, you know, God has just changed me. He has let me to see that he loves me. And anyway, that's just...
That's powerful, though, because
yeah.
what can hold you back if you have that to look at? And everybody's, you know, people's rock bottom, especially people who can say, oh, well, I didn't struggle with addiction. I've been in church my whole life. Everybody experiences their own
right.
time of desperation,
yes.
just like that the woman with the issue of blood. A lot of times we don't think about, we think that she was sick, but we don't consider that she was isolated. She was an outcast.
Right.
Because in Hebrew culture, you had to be, you know, so far away from people because other people didn't want to be made unclean. They couldn't go make their sacrifice if that was the case. So not only was she sick in her body, but she was isolated, alone. She was at her rock bottom.
Right.
What did she care if she went up in a crowd and made everybody unclean? She just connected with Jesus. And what a loving God for him to hear you, for him to wait all those years on you to get
yes.
tired of it. And in the middle of the act to look up and say, I'm not even sure if I love you, but I do know that you're the only way I'm not going to hell. And right. and for his love to reach out and do a work in you. Yes. I mean,
and that is just, that's really cool. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords,
that's right.
actually cared enough that he reached down for me. Like, that is, it's a compliment.
And who are we? Like,
yes.
the man, the being that made the universe.
Right.
That had his feel of how horrible we were doing on this earth, that yes. he put robed on flesh and came down and did what we couldn't do to remove a curse that we couldn't remove and to reach out to us in our sin. I mean, he's constantly doing the most
yes.
for us.
He is, and I'm so thankful, so thankful.
So what is the greatest lesson that you have learned through a trial or all the many trials put together? What's the greatest lesson that you've learned?
The greatest lesson that I've learned is that God is faithful. He is always faithful. He is faithful to give you the desires of your heart.
He's, That's right.
He is faithful to deliver you, provide for you. He, I'm just living my best life.
He's never going to let you down. I know a lot of times people think that, you know, we're holding on to this thing and it's hurting us or it's a sin or whatever. And we think, you know, well, what if it gets worse? It's not going to. God
right.
is faithful. God's not going to, this is my husband's words, God's not going to ask you to step out on a limb and then cut it off out from under you.
Yes. And he's faithful to forgive us.
That's
you know,
right.
I have my best friend in the whole wide world. She told me this years ago, and, you know, it's funny how preachers can preach this, and but when it comes from your best friend, it means a little something more. She just said that it's one of the hardest things that she had to learn living for God was that he's not standing there to hit you over the head with a hammer,
yeah.
and that when you fail, you just get back up.
That's
you
right.
know, and he's faithful. You know, if you fail, you can just go to him and be like, I'm sorry. I missed the mark, and he is faithful to pick you back up and to restore you and to just bring you back, you know.
That's right.
He's good. God is good.
Well, because what does the Bible say? Even our righteousness is as filthy rags. So for sure, if our best is not enough,
right.
then don't stress when you mess up. I've heard it said before, every single person save Jesus in the Bible was a huge mess up.
Right.
I mean, literally, we think about David all the time. We're like, oh, David and Bathsheba. Back it up, Terry, because also he killed somebody. Like,
exactly.
not only did he really, really mess up, it was a lot of mess ups in that time. He was supposed to be at battle. He was at the house. He was looking where people always take a bath. He messed up. He summoned this lady there. And then he killed somebody.
And I have never truly thought that. Like, I really don't want someone
right
to not make it
right well
know? So I'm better than David in that aspect,
but then and David was the man after God's own heart.
Yes.
So like, keep getting back up.
Yes, always.
Even if you kill somebody. I'm just kidding. We don't want you to kill anybody, but I do want you to keep getting back
yes.
up. So what is your advice to someone who's young in the Lord and they're just embarking on this journey?
I would say to get it for yourself, to get a love for this truth for yourself. I tell my daughter this all the time. You've got to get it for yourself. You've got to get a relationship with Jesus for yourself. If you get it for yourself, nothing else can take it away from you. No matter if you lose your parents, you lose your friends, it won't matter who fails you. If your leadership fails, whatever life throws at you, Jesus will sustain you. And
That's
I
right.
think that is the biggest thing that you can do is just to, you know, get a relationship with Jesus
yeah.
for yourself. That's going to carry you through.
And so whenever I first got into church, my husband would say that. Of course, he was working off. And, you know, he had the Holy Ghost, but he was not helpful to me, okay? I'll just tell you that. Because I would be like, so I was trying to over-intellectualize it because I'm like, I need to know the science behind this. Like, I want to know steps 1 and 1A and 1B and 1C. Like, I want to know everything, how it's going to happen, and the timeline for everything. And he's like, you just got to get it for yourself. And I'm like, I'm trying with everything that I have in me. And so what I'll tell people sometimes, like, especially if I see that service after service, they're they want it. They're trying, and nothing's happening. I'll go and I'll say, and this is a Mimi-ism, and she's going to be on with the Lord, but she truly is the one who helped me to pass that barrier that I was up against. And side note, she's also the person I was spending the night with when I very first saw an angel for the very first time. Didn't know what I was seeing, but special lady to me. Miss her very dearly. But she said, live it like you got it. And I'm like, what are you talking about? She's like, just live it like you got it. Not pretend like you have it, but what would you do if you did get it? How would you worship? How would you live? How would you walk and talk? Do that. Take the pressure off yourself. And she said another powerful thing. She said, look at the person around you who worships to the fullest and just do what they do. You know, and this may even be something in the pew, like raising your hands and saying hallelujah and just praising God, really loving God.
Right.
Pick that person. And I'm not saying copy them. I'm saying let that be your mark for this is what I'm going to do because I'm living it like I got it. And another thing that I like to add is don't focus on the gift, focus on the giver. Because so many times if you're a person who's tarrying for the Holy Ghost and you're going, Lord, I'm repented up, because the Bible says repent, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Okay. So we've repented and we're everything is in line and we're just waiting to receive now, but we are holding our hands open saying, I want this gift. I want this gift. I want this gift. And Jesus is like, I'm a person. Like, do you even realize what the Holy Ghost is? It is God's Spirit on the inside of you.
Right.
So it's not this thing. It's not this thing that we're in line to get and we put it in our little gift bag and walk away. It's a person that we receive and we give full permission for an overhaul on our life. And when I finally realized that I need to worship Jesus, it was the easiest thing in the world to receive, because it wasn't a thing anymore. It was a person. It was a relationship. It was unconditional love, like we talked about. He wasn't sitting here dangling that fish hook in front of me going, here's the gift. Oh, you got to be quicker than that.
Yeah.
Oh. But he was saying, I desire to be in relationship with you. Do you want to be in relationship with me?
Right.
And when I got that in order, it's like everything fell into place.
Yes, that's neat. I like that.
So thank you so much for being with me today, Mindy. I'm so, so happy and godly proud of the work that y'all are doing. I know that Bible studies make a difference, and what a testament to y'all's faith of everything that y'all do for missions. And you know what? You really wouldn't even know, because Charlie's not out here telling everybody. You really wouldn't know unless you went up and asked them. They're just those kind of people. So I'm so blessed to call them friends. And thank you so much for being on.
Thank you very much for having me.
Yes, ma'am. God bless.